This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now. Check-out time is never.
It's Mike Shope.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
And the Bulldog.
Can I have a late checkout?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
Okay. Just so I understand it, in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell. And you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
And the Bulldog.
Yeah, but I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year
on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I saw yesterday that there's going to be, or that there is, a Clue board game office themed, or better put, an office themed Clue board game. And there's a murder.
Oh.
Who? Do you know who dies in the office-themed Clue board game?
Jim.
Creed.
Whose murder they're investigating?
The big heavy guy that drops the pot of chili.
Kevin.
Kevin. No. It's not Jim. It's not Creed. It's not Kevin.
Is it like a main staple of the show?
Pretty much.
Or are we talking like a niche character?
It's not Robert California.
Great character, by the way.
That blonde lady who had the thing with Dwight.
Angela,
yeah.
Who went to Baylor, by the way. Angela Kinney or Kinsey? No, not her.
On the show, or she, you mean the...
The actress.
The actress, okay.
She does a podcast, by the way, with Pam.
It'd be a weird...
Angela's name was Angela. Phyllis's name is Phyllis.
Creed's name is Creed.
I'm trying to figure out why in the plot of the show Oscar revealed that she went to Baylor. That would have been an odd thing to have.
Like, Oscar's name is Oscar.
Yeah, is it him?
No, Toby.
Oh, that was so gettable. I'm mad myself.
It was gettable. Who killed Toby Flenderson?
Of course it's Toby.
Who's Toby?
The guy that Michael hates who works in HR.
Okay.
He's always crushing him.
Well, the answer is obviously Michael. This is an easy game. An easy board game.
Apparently. I wonder if like it's sort of tilted toward Michael. It would be different from Clue. The Clue I know.
Yeah.
For it to be tilted like that. We'll see. Hey,
you should go back and watch that show that Travis mentioned at the very outset of his appearance. True Detective season one is all time really good.
Got
a little away from them in my opinion at the end, but still was a very satisfying watch. Like very, the acting, Woody Harrelson and McConaughey were just off the charts awesome in that show.
Okay.
It's one of the best acted series TV shows I've ever watched. I mean, it was just really great.
I like the idea of it. One thing that I've read today on Twitter with so much saber fire going on is, especially with Mike Babcock being fired today by the Leafs, and I heard Jeremy talk about this before we knew that was coming this morning, is the point about Housley lasting the full 2 years. Like, did you think you were going somewhere? Did you just not have maybe the courage or think it was somehow not the right play, even though you were worried? Jeremy put it this way this morning, how Botterill mocked fans for questioning Housley's status.
When it came up in January, February, they were in Florida.
Yeah.
Tampa, I think, is where Botterill spoke that time about that. And he sort of like, really, that's even a question? Was basically his tone when asked about it. And
He said he didn't know that fans were talking about it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It makes you, in a certain way, I guess my default position, like thinking about that, would be he knew the roster wasn't that good. And it was, Casey Mittelstadt's my number two center. He's not ready. Dalene's rookie. Like, just, you know, I'm not going to expect great things here. So we're not going to fire the coach because, frankly, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference.
You know, it's his first GM job too, and you don't want to be the GM that fires coaches. You know, you don't want to have to do it. So it's like a last resort kind of move. But yeah. At the same time, the team was just terrible.
Right.
So, and it was year two, and the point I was thinking about here, bringing this back up, is that the Leafs have been to the playoffs for years in a row, and they've lost to good or great teams in close series, Boston and Washington, and he's out. Like, they're losing right now in November.
Right.
And he's out.
And yeah.
And you know about, if you follow it, like, you know about there being sort of philosophical differences there, but still, what is the standard? Here, the thing about the Sabres is it often comes back to that question. What is the standard, actually? Sobotka is back on the team. They're firing Mike Babcock for all that money he's going to be owed. And even though they've been to the playoffs,
right. They
had – Joe just did it. They had the Austin Matthews lottery year, the year he took over, and then they've been in every year.
Right. Boston, Washington, Boston. Did it go that way? Right.
Maybe. Yeah,
I think so.
When you look at the Sabres, so if you're old enough like we are to remember it, the Sabres were – they did not win a round – between 1982 and 1993. They won a round in 81. They won on the May Day goal in 93. They did not win a single round in between. But they were in the playoffs. So what is that going to be? 11 seasons in a row where they did not win a round in the playoffs. But they were in the playoffs 9 of those 11 years.
Right.
And they had 6 coaches in that span. They had 6 coaches: Scotty Bowman, Jim Schoenfeld, then Bowman, then Craig Ramsey, then Ted Sater, then Rick Dudley, then John Muckler. And Muckler is the coach. He's the coach at the end of 92 when they lose in 7 to Boston, Dave Reed. And then in 93, he's the coach and they beat Boston. And so you had a team that in 11 years went to the playoffs 9 times. It was easier mathematically to make it then because it was 16 out of 21.
Right.
Nonetheless, made the playoffs 9 out of 11 years, didn't win a round, and went through 6 coaches in the process. Like, the Gashwell, you know, hashtag Gashwell. And I'm not saying we need to make that move right now.
No, I wouldn't.
But what happened with St. Louis? They fired their coach in the middle of the season. They were in last place. They won the Stanley Cup. You know, we just want a round here.
Right.
I think.
This, for me, like, last year it definitely works. We were in the same situation in year two with Bilesma. Bilesma was, like, Hitchcock was available then. That's what did it. It was the day of the roast. I remember coming in all hot and bothered. This is it. Like, they should do this. This isn't working. It's obvious it isn't working. And you still have time. It's February, and, like, they're not buried yet. So try to salvage it. And, you know, they didn't want to – that was Tim Murray. Didn't want to do it. Apparently, obviously, didn't want to do it. And then they both got fired. You know, in a certain way, I guess you might admire Murray. He didn't feel like – you know, maybe firing the guy could have saved himself even because if they turned around then. But, you know.
Well, Bilesma might have outranked Murray in a status sort of way. And I don't know if that would have been the case last year. Maybe it is. I don't know. Like, the GM is the boss in title. But would he always act like the boss in those kind of one-on-one situations? I don't know. Anyway, the next game is tomorrow night in Boston. We'll have Rob Ray tomorrow.
The Leafs will be fun to watch from here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like the coach he's very well thought of, and he's got a lot of familiarity with many of the faces there. I mean, Austin Matthews didn't play in the AHL at all. John Tavares obviously was with the Islanders, but, you know, he's got a rep, and there is a lot of talent there. I mean, Marner is still out for a few weeks, so he's, you know, can't help them now. But I think it's a dramatic move, and they just got way more interesting.
I think that's cool. I'm looking forward to that.
And I'll be here next Friday afternoon.
Yes, they will.
It's a home and home kind of, too. The Sabres go there the following night, I think.
Okay.
Pretty sure, yeah.
So let's save Guess the Guest.
Okay, yeah.
But I do want to tell you about another thing.
All right.
We'll get to the Bills some more. So I went to Boston last weekend, and met a friend of mine from Grand Island who now lives in Washington State. And he was there to see Tool with his cousin. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's Tool? I actually know. I don't know a lot, but I'd heard of him. So we're playing around with that. And then we went to a few breweries in Boston. And I came home inspired by this guy in a couple of ways. One thing that is just like the second point. First is how he talked about not watching like his phone or TV before bed, you know, just sort of like he would read a lot. He was talking about that a little bit. Like, I need to do better at that. I'm usually like on my phone with lineups on Wednesday night. Like, who cares? I can wait. So that's a good one. That's an easy one. That's a good one.
Yep.
Then he was talking about this, and this just was so exciting to my wife. I don't know the last time I saw her that's this excited about an idea. She was so happy about this. We have copied Jake's idea and are doing it. So he's like, we decided we had too much stuff in our house. Now, a lot of you can relate. This is like a huge drain on the sort of the general disposition of the adults in my house. Is like, oh, there's so much stuff. Mm-hmm. You're always getting new clothes for school or whatever. Like, things break, but they're not like shot, so you get a new one and you have a neck. You still have the old all the time. You know what I mean? Oh. All the time. Yeah. So he's like, we did a thing. We did it in February because it's the shortest month. But on the first day of the month, everybody in the house gets rid of one thing. Now they have two kids, mm-hmm. a little bit older than mine, but close. Everybody gets rid of one thing. On the second day, two things. On the third, three. On the fourth, four.
Wow.
All the way to 28.
Oh my God.
And after that, anytime you get a new thing, something else goes. I bought him a t-shirt mm-hmm. from Big Ditch to take to him. And he got it. He was thankful. He's like, thanks a lot for this. I just got to figure out which t-shirt I'm throwing out.
Now I'm going to get rid of something?
Wow. Right. Wow. Like, that is it. He sent me a picture of his cabinet with the dishes. And it's like, it's so neat. And we've got dishes. We like them. You get a new couple of wine glasses in an event or something. Yeah. Or you win up. Whatever. Like, it just keeps adding. Uh-huh. And unless you break them, they're still the old stuff is all still in there. So, you know, and a lot of this is going to be donations, right?
Sure.
So he was talking about how his kids, I said, weren't there days where you could sort of like kind of be silly and you throw out like 20 paper clips on the 20th day or something? He's like, there are paper clip days, but they're not all paper clip days. And some days it's really hard.
Yeah.
But you know, everybody gets used to it and gets to like it. So we started doing this. Tonight is day 5. I haven't picked yet for today.
Yeah.
Yesterday was day 4. Right. I got rid of 4 shirts.
Yeah.
My closet is going to look
yeah.
like it's from a different house by the end of this.
Yeah.
4 shirts. And so here's how this is going. My wife leaves for work at about the time that I get up. So I get downstairs and her choices for the day are right there on the counter when I get downstairs to the kitchen. Like, they're whatever. Like, it's clothes or it's something. Like, what? It's like a serious, like, here, I'm done. Here it is. Here are my 4 things.
And that's maybe her way of making sure you don't forget that we're doing this.
Maybe.
Right.
It's mostly that she is so excited about this that she can't wait to pick things to get rid of. And now there's, like, sort of a group effort. So I have picked the shirts yesterday and I don't know, other things. I got rid of a mirror that it's just, like, collecting dust. And some old shoes, right? Some stuff is garbage. Some stuff is Goodwill, so on. And my daughter is hilarious at this. So she knows that she has to do it. And today I realize this is what's happening every day. She is finding, like, pieces of paper on the floor in her bedroom or, like, a Lego piece, things like that. And she'll come down. She's all proud of herself, and it's great. She's like, Daddy, here are my 4 things. I'm looking at it today. She got like a small rubber duck, a piece of paper. Looks like it's been folded a couple of times. I don't know what it ever was good for. Just like a small piece of paper. An eraser from a pencil and a Lego piece. Like, that's it. Yep. And she's like, I'm throwing them out. Like, okay, Garnet, throw them out.
Right.
The purge. We're calling it the purge.
Yeah.
So today is day 5 of the purge. I said to my wife, we're Jake does this. Do you want to do? I know what she's going to say. I'm texting her from Boston. Like, do you want to do this? And she's like, are you serious? Of course I do. I'm like, great. She's like, yep, I'm telling the kids now. I said, all right, you tell them. We'll start it. If you want, we'll start it December 1st. She's like, no, we're starting November 17th, tomorrow. I don't care what day it is.
Right.
Like, we're starting this tomorrow.
We'll count to 30.
I have been waiting, whatever. I've been waiting for this day forever. It's like that.
Yeah.
So we go. And so that's happening. And I mean, it's going to get hard,
yeah,
right? It's going to get tough.
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
But it's going to be good.
Ultimately, yeah. I mean, yes. It's certainly not going to end up having to dispose of things that you don't use or want. Or need, even. Need. This is the very definition between need and want, is what it really ends up coming down to. Man, I totally hear you. We've never done anything organized in that way, and I guess I wish I had. We, at one point, probably about halfway, 20 years in the house, 10 years in, the basement was just... I just got on this kick. Like, we need to... It's just untenable. It's just junk. It's just junk all over. You can't even barely walk around down there. It's so much junk. So we put it all in, like, a one central spot, and we got a dumpster. I mean, like you see at a construction site. And just...
Yeah.
We emptied it out, and then I didn't finish the basement, but I sealed the walls and painted the floor and like, all right, you know, it's not nice down here, but it's whatever. It's decent.
It doesn't make you mad.
No, right.
That's the thing.
Right. It needs to happen all over again.
Yeah.
Like, in 10 years have gone by and like, it's just, I go down there. This is on me. Some of the lights don't work. You know, those basement lights, so you pull the string. Like, a couple of those don't work. So it's dark, and
right.
I can't get to my workbench without tripping on stuff because it's just so much crap, and it makes me insane.
But, you know, it's hard to get rid of things. They're all yes. Most of these things are functional. Maybe I will need this mirror again. Maybe I will need these shoes again. Maybe I will want to wear this shirt again. Not really.
No,
I mean,
right.
Tell me when. I'm talking to myself. Like, all right, really? You're going to wear that? Really? I've got like 6 shirts that I wear.
I did this to my closet a few weeks ago, and I mean, it was, I filled the truck up with bags to take to Goodwill. I mean, I just.
Yeah, right. You will.
I did not edit. I decided I'm not going to like, oh, well, I want the Polos Hermanos Breaking Bad t-shirt that I have never worn one time. It's been sitting there like, oh, I kind of want that. No, I'm not doing that. I'm just, there's that stack of stuff I never wear. It's going. Just go.
And you will never even think about it. Right. You'll just think about how you have this open space
right,
now.
Now my closet's kind of nice.
Yeah. So I'm doing the purge here and I recommend it.
Good.
I think... a lot of people may like this sort of story and make it, you know, use it at home. And also, it'll feel good to donate so much stuff that is doing you no good that may do someone else some
good. For sure. That is a good thing about it. Yeah.
All right. We will get to football next. Change the subject. We did not get to guess the guest, or I didn't even talk about the card. I found the Strasburg card. We'll have to tell that story. So we'll do that pretty soon. Joe will be on at 7 tonight. Relaxation. Give the gift of relaxation this upcoming holiday season with the Woodhouse Day Spa in Williamsville. I love the Woodhouse. It is super nice. All kinds of different treatments to try. Massages, of course. Facials, other rejuvenating treatments. The warm spiced mud wraps. Whatever you think you'd like, whatever you think she'd like. This holiday season, simplify your shopping and give the gift of relaxation from the Woodhouse. If you purchase a gift card worth $300 to the Woodhouse Day Spa, you'll also receive an exquisite cable knit throw blanket. This is valid on in-spa purchases while supplies last. It's super comfy. Also a great gift in and of itself. To learn more, visit buffalo.woodhousespas.com or call 716-458-5700. The Woodhouse is on Main Street in Williamsville, right across from Williamsville South. The Woodhouse Day Spa, 716-458-50.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
700.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio,
on WGR.
All right, let's talk some Bills. Sal is out at, or was at least, if he's not still there, out at the stadium for media day today. Sal, what's new?
Yeah, I'm not out there anymore, but I was out there all day today, Mike.
I have no doubt about that.
Almost all day. What is all day? What does all day constitute?
6 hours or more.
Okay, I got there at 10. 10:30, I should say. 10:30.
You don't qualify.
11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30. No. I would say it was not 6 hours.
Am I high with 6 hours? Maybe I'm high.
Eh. Did you have a meal out there?
I did.
Okay.
A couple hours at least on each side of it.
And I worked. I mean, I worked while I was out there. I did the morning show hit this morning. Went to the gym, so I have to brag. I went to the gym.
Me too.
Came back home.
Me too.
Changed.
I went to the gym.
Went
too.
To the stadium.
Bulldog spent all day at the gym.
I was at the gym. And then I'm back. So, all day. I guess all day for as far as covering football is concerned.
You are not being questioned here. So that's let's make that clear.
Yeah, your dedication to your craft is not
it's not in question.
It's not up for debate.
How much time? Now you can say all the time. How much time have you spent on the playoff machine?
Lately I go more to the New York Times. I used to do ESPN Playoff Machine all the time. Now I go to the New York Times Playoff Simulator, I think it's called. It might be Playoff Machine. And I go there at least a couple times a day, but much more so like on Thursdays when there's a game, or a Monday night before the Chargers Chiefs and stuff like that, when, you know, I can play with some things. But I definitely do it.
I had forgotten about the New York Times one, and I remember, since you mentioned it, liking it more. It's just better,
yes.
Better detail. What have you thought about the Bills' chances from using the playoff simulator?
Well, I think they're in a good spot right now, and obviously with their record, they can, I'm not going to say, it's okay to lose, but they can afford a setback somewhere along the way, and they can still be okay. Obviously, it would depend on who they lose to, and that Pittsburgh game would loom a little larger than most, but at the same time, I hear one of the things that I hear people say is how monstrous that Pittsburgh game is. And I say, well, you know, Pittsburgh's got to do their part, though. It becomes monstrous if Pittsburgh is still winning. Right now, they're 2 games behind the Bills. You know, if the Bills win this week and they get to 8-3, right? And Pittsburgh, what's their record right now?
5-5.
That's right. I mean, what if they go to 5-6 or, you know, at some point? What if they're, you don't know. So, yes, that can be monstrous. So my thought, Mike, is that the Bills are in a really good position, because the other thing I think that people forget about is, there's 2 spots, not just one. And I always hear, well, Pittsburgh could catch them, or Oakland could catch them. Look, that's right. But if one team catches them, you could still be in the 6th spot. Like, they're in a nice spot right now.
I think for me, the focus on the Pittsburgh game is not so much for whether or not they could catch the Bills and displace the Bills. It's more to me about, if you're going to get to 10, that is your most likely game other than Denver and the Jets. I've got Denver this week. I've got the Jets at the end. You know, this week is big too. But
You think winning at Pittsburgh is easier than winning here against Baltimore?
Yes.
Yes.
You both do.
I do, yes.
I think Baltimore here is a tougher game than at Pittsburgh. I think they're both tough for their own reasons, but I think Baltimore is just playing incredible right
now. I think you've got such talent at quarterback there. Like, you just, to me, like that's going to be a big job to handle that offense as opposed to Mason Rudolph at home. Like,
the Steelers are the Bills, Mike. I mean, they might be Bills light at this point. I mean, Mason Rudolph, his average length of pass for just completions, not like average length of pass for through the air to target, just completions. Only him and one other quarterback who's casing right now are less than five in the whole league. Like, they don't throw the ball down the field at all because they can't, and they have offensive line injuries. Juju Smith-Schuster's hurt. Like, they have a good defense. It's playing really well. That's a challenge for the Bills, but I think the Bills can definitely shut that offense down.
Okay. I'm not sure I disagree. It's just, like, the fact that it's a road game versus a home game. It's a six-point swing, you know, in terms of point spreads.
Right.
The Bills are fine. Your point about the Steelers and the Bills in that comparison is well taken. As long as the Bills are two games ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for now, they are two games ahead. Pittsburgh has the Bengals this week.
Right.
And, like, as long as it stays there, you don't have that particular risk. If it gets to one, then you do.
That's right, and I agree with that. And, you know, Oakland is still there. I think their schedule's a little bit harder than some of the other teams, but there's still some very winnable games on their schedule. But like I said, if one team catches you, the other teams all have to keep winning for them all to catch you. You know, I mean, it's like you can't just assume. Just like you can't assume the Bills will win or lose, you can't just assume all these other teams are going to win all these other games either. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh's got injuries right now. Oakland, they barely got by Cincy last week. Cincy had the ball a few times with chances to go down there and tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I like the spot the Bills are in right now. And what sucks to me, though, when I do it every time is, I'll tell you this. It just sucks that you can't get them. No matter what their record is, they're going to have a better record, maybe, seemingly, than division winners. You know, and they can't win their division because of New England, you think, right? And that's pretty much the way it's going to go. But yet, every time you do it, the Bills might wind up 10-6 and still being ahead of maybe two different 9-7 division winners.
Maybe. That could happen. That's not going to happen in, well, it could be the NFC East, I guess. AFC West, possibly.
Right.
AFC South,
the
possibly.
South could be. Yeah,
yeah, we've been pointing out since like week three that a realistic outcome this year is the Bills go on the road in the first round and play a team that they have a better record than.
Yep,
and then we'll have fun with that story that week, which is like, wait, why isn't this a home game? Whatever.
Right. We've had fun debating that over other years when it was, you know,
other teams.
Whatever, Seattle hosting New Orleans or whatever the hell it would have been.
Like, yeah, that's one of those games.
That might have even been under 500, right?
Was maybe 10-6 versus 7-9. That's
nine.
The beast mode game
right,
that the, Seattle wins.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It also will help, Sal, if the AFC South, we went through the schedules for Indy and Houston. I don't think we got to Tennessee and Jacksonville, but if everybody there just sort of keeps beating each other, that would be good.
Yes.
Like, if they can eliminate
totally right.
the potential for a second team, a wild card team to come out of that division because they just keep cycling through, you know, knocking each other off, great. Like,
yeah,
right now,
right.
I'm like, go Tennessee, go Jacksonville. You know, like, they're not in it really, I don't think, but, you know, if they can take a win here or there away from whoever doesn't win the division, all the better.
Totally right, Bulldog. I mean, every year we see the AFC South basically cannibalize itself, right? I mean, that's what they do. There are certain teams, and I don't know how it goes. I got to go back and look. But there's like one team that can't beat another, but that team can't beat the other team. It's really weird how it works out. And every time they play, it seems like one team dominates, like A dominates B, B dominates C, but C dominates A. I don't know. It's something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know which teams those are. But with all that being said, here's a great example of everything we're talking about. Thursday night, tomorrow night, the Colts are playing the Texans. And yeah, one team's going to go 7-4 and lead the division. You know what happens to the other team? They're suddenly 6-5. Like, they drop a game. So that's great. They're just going to keep playing each other, giving each other losses. And I think, to me, you just want to keep having that happen. The more losses, the better. And there's an argument to be made, certainly, for when people say to me, who do you want to win? And this was evident in the Monday night game, Chiefs-Chargers. And I could make an argument and say, well, you want the Chiefs to win because you want them to pull away and give the Chargers another loss and kind of bury them. But you could also make the argument to say, just keep giving them each as many losses as possible. So therefore, you want the Chargers to beat the Chiefs. And I think that's the case maybe tomorrow night in the Colts-Texans game.
Sal Capaccio with us. The Colts did win the first meeting this year, if that comes up on your mind as you watch this game and plan for it tomorrow night. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Sal joining us on the West Her Hotline. What do you think of Denver? Here again, it's a game where the Bills are four games better than their opponent. That was the case when the Bills went to Cleveland, and as we talked about at the time, they were an underdog for that game in Cleveland. The game came in right at about the spread. If this game were in Denver, the Bills would be an underdog in Denver by like two. Here they're a four-point favorite. What do you think?
I watched them on film. I think they're a really talented team that has just not enough talent to get to the finish line. They've lost several games in one possession, by one possession, and they've lost several of them in the last possession of the game, by the way. They've blown fourth-quarter leads this year. They're in a quarterback situation where Brandon Allen is not going to be – he's nothing like a lot of the other – well, I guess the better quarterbacks maybe the Bills have faced this year. You know, he's not on the level of most of the really good quarterbacks you'd face. He's only getting his third NFL start, only second start on the road. And I think that's a nice benefit for the Bills here to be able to have a matchup there like that. But, man, guys, they have an ability to get to the passer, you know, with Von Miller especially. They had, five sacks last week, I think it was, against Minnesota and Kirk Cousins. Their pass catchers are really good. Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, they were making contested catches like all over the field. But, you know, there's some opportunity. I don't love their offensive line. I think the Bills can maybe, you know, get after Brandon Allen a little bit, and I think he can be forced into making some poor decisions. Luckily, his guys bailed him out of a few of those last week, but I love the way he just says, I'm going to give my guy a chance in certain situations. And then I don't think their secondary, as much as they have talent in their secondary, you know, they're not just locked down or anything like that. There's some plays that you can make on them if you have time.
A little more on Brandon Allen, because it strikes me as you're talking about him, Sal, that it's quite possible that I've never known less about a quarterback that's about to play the Bills. You know, I mean, I've been doing this job for a long time. I take it relatively seriously, despite how it sounds sometimes, but I just have not seen Denver play since he's been playing, and I don't remember him in college at all. I'm just like, who is this guy?
Remember him playing for the Sabres, the tank year?
Is he a big guy? With Zach Delpy on his
wing? They were on the same line.
Is he a big guy? Can he run? Big arm? Like, what's the Sal scouting report on Brandon Allen?
Should we have Brandon Allen trivia? Do you want to guess what college he went to, Bulldog?
Murray State.
he was with the Rams in like the summer. He's been on the Rams. Last year he was maybe on the Rams.
Okay, let's start here. Let me ask you both this. Do you either of you know how many years he's been in the league or how long he's been in the league?
It's like four or five years.
Yeah, wow. He's been in the league 4 years. Can you believe that?
I would have guessed two at the most.
Yeah. Right. I mean, but this is the first time he's ever played.
Yeah.
He's never played. He's been in the league 4 years. He came out of Arkansas. He was the quarterback at Arkansas, drafted, not undrafted, sixth round 2016 with the Jaguars. He bounced around. And he's been with the Jaguars and then the Rams, like you said, Mike. And now he's thrown into this situation where they don't really even – I don't think they really want him to start, but they can't start Drew Lock right now. He's not healthy enough. They need Drew Lock to play. They need Drew Lock to see what he can do, but he's not quite there yet. They know that the Flacco thing is gone. Like, that was just – that was dumb in the beginning for them to even do that, but they need to move on from that. So he's kind of their guy just – kind of playing to bridge the gap here between Flacco and getting to their future hopeful quarterback in Drew Lock. And look, he's not the biggest guy in the world, 6'2", but you know, I wouldn't say he's necessarily really small. Mm-hmm. I like the way he moves. He's not a running quarterback per se. He gets out of the pocket. You know, a lot of things they did last week, that first half, they had a really good first half. They run gadget plays, like little ends around, thing like that. They get him out on the perimeter. They boot him, stuff like that. He'll run the quarterback sneak. I think this kid screams to me, a kid that's been in the league 4 years, he's doing everything he can to stick on a roster, so he just goes out there and tries to ball as hard as he can. That's what he looks like to me.
Hold on right there, Sal. We'll have more with Sal Capaccio after this important timeout. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Now more with Sal here on WGR.
You might be right to consider the Broncos and Bills very similar. Defensively, in points allowed, the Bills are third. Or yards allowed, that is. Or seventh in points, Denver.
Mike, I'm going to say this. I think, I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse, but I actually have thought for a while, I think the Bills actually match up better with the Cowboys than they do with the Broncos. I think this is a tougher matchup for matchup, unit for unit. I think this is a tougher matchup for the Bills than next week against the Cowboys.
Okay. Well, I respect this. I mean, I think it's 100% right and necessary to respect this opponent. I mean,
yes.
I don't worry about that for the Bills. Who were we talking to the other day? Where, like,
looking past them, yeah, or anything like that.
Michael Irvin.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't see that as an issue with this team at all. They have really been nowhere together yet. So they would be focused like that, I think. Denver also 20th in points. The Bills, 20th in points. Denver, 27th. So the total in this game is like in the 30s. I don't know what the weather is like, but it's probably going to be a tough game. And if the form of the two teams through the season holds, the Bills will win it in the fourth quarter in a close one.
I don't want to dwell on this here because you said you don't want to put the cart before the horse, and we'll have plenty of time here. Although next week's a short week, so I'll just squeeze this in. Mm-hmm. Do you say that about the Dallas matchup, Buffalo matching up better with them because of Buffalo's pass defense more than anything else?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, look, I think Dak Prescott has done some nice things. Last week he had a heck of a football game, right? But I still would say that if you force Dak Prescott to have to beat you, you know, I think that you can give yourself opportunities, and they're not – he's more of a game manager still to me, even though he threw for a lot of yards. And I think the Bills can do right by those kinds of quarterbacks, you know, game managers, guys that aren't going to kill you with the big play. They do have good players, obviously, Amari Cooper. We know Zeke Elliott, who, by the way, hasn't been great as of late. Mm-hmm. That's a big reason why. But here's the thing. I think the Bills' offense, if you look at Dallas – now, I know their defensive numbers are actually fairly good – but you look at their schedule, it's kind of similar to the Bills. They have not played juggernauts of offenses, guys, and I think they've been in some games where they've allowed points. So I think the Bills might be able to – next week we might be in for a little higher scoring game than people may have thought originally between the Bills and the Cowboys, where I think this week should be a lower scoring game because this is a tough matchup.
I have not thought about that very much yet. I'm excited to already. There is a line, Dallas minus 6.5, that I've seen for Thanksgiving. Hmm.
That's not all. That's not like a huge number on Thanksgiving for a road team at Dallas. A pretty good Dallas team.
No, that's right. What's the deal with Jerry Hughes being on the injury report?
He had a groin last week that popped up late in the week. He still wound up playing on Sunday. It was a game time decision. My sense is this is just kind of, you know, same thing. They just want to get past this, and they're still working on him, so they're giving him a day today to recover, rest, whatever, but it's still an injury, so they have to list it as, you know, on the injury report. You know, people don't realize how durable Jerry's been, guys. He currently is the number two defensive end in football in consecutive games played. 125 consecutive games played for Jerry Hughes.
All right, look at that. That's a nice number in, like, Bill's history, too. That's going to be a nice number.
Who's at number one, do you know? Did you just know that he was?
I believe it is Carlos Dunlap.
Okay.
I was going to guess. I was just about to say Carlos Dunlap.
So Nsekhe is already been ruled out, right? He's not going to be available for this game in maybe a couple weeks. We think or no, what? Let me try.
I just found it, guys. It's Cameron Jordan. I'm sorry.
I was going to say Cameron Jordan.
Cameron Jordan of New Orleans, Saints. 138 straight games. Jerry Hughes, 125 straight games.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Here's the thing though. When we saw what happened to Ty Nsekhe, it looked pretty nasty. Like he, you know, he was in a lot of pain. He was getting carted off. For Sean McDermott to not say today that he's out for the year, which, you know, obviously maybe he doesn't play the rest of the year, but for Sean McDermott to term him week to week, I think that's good news, actually, that, you know, it seems at least now that they're not ready to declare him out for the year. Maybe there's a possibility he comes back, so let's hope for the best on that. But in the meantime, obviously he hasn't been officially declared out this week, but if you're week to week and it's your first week, he's not going to play.
Right.
So, obviously that means that Cody Ford is going to have to play.
Right, and that's Von Miller?
Yeah, that's Von Miller.
Okay.
You know, people have been talking all year about the platooning of Cody Ford and Ty Nsekhe, and I've been telling you guys they've been a better team with Ty Nsekhe, but they've done this platooning. Honestly, this is kind of why, right? Now you're in a situation where Cody Ford has to play, and here he is. He's played pretty much half the snaps anyway this year, so they've given him that experience. This is going to be a tough test for him. There's going to be things they're going to have to do. They might have to give him a little help over there. They can run things away from Von Miller, but you know, Cody Ford's also going to have to step up. He's going to have to play good football this week.
My sense is, and you might know better or different, is that they would realize they're better when Nsekhe's in there too, but it was really more about load management.
Correct.
You know, the injury was a freak thing. Somebody rolled up on him. But, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's had, like, leg trouble. You just sort of – we know we're good with this when this guy's here. We'd rather have him on the field, but the big picture, we want to make sure we have him available as often as we can. So let's just take turns and try to get through when he's not there. Now
and in the meantime, develop your young tackle,
right?
And give him snaps. So yeah, that's exactly what I think it was too, because it seemed to me that it was almost plain to see every week that they were just a better offense, not a ton better, but a better offense when Ty Nsekhe was in there. And Cody Ford was struggling with some, you know, some faster edge rushers. Right. And obviously, Von Miller's going to pose a problem this week. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, but yeah, I think now it's just time where you say, okay, it's Cody Ford. You've had the training. You've been playing. It's been half a season. We've done this for this particular moment to make sure that you are ready in case this came up. And now here we are, and you got to step up.
Just one quick thing while you're on the line. Just want to say that I'm in a guillotine league that's down to six guys, and I have a Bill in my lineup. I'm very excited about that. Like, I actually have a Bill. John Brown.
Oh, wow.
He was great for me last week. And I'm down to, basically, it's a 16 league, right? From the next week, it'll be five. Mm-hmm. And I'm rolling with John Brown. This week, it'll be John Brown or Tyler Boyd. That was the case last week, too. And I got lucky because Boyd had like a nothing day for the Bengals, and Brown had his best day.
And I wouldn't want Boyd against that Steelers secondary now with Minka Fitzpatrick, too. That's going to be, you know, basically playing on him. I think that's going to be a tough matchup. So Brown is your matchup this week too. I think your play
probably Chris Harris for Denver. He's nice. Like we've been over.
He is.
The defense is pretty.
He's
good.
A nice player, but you know, you look and like I said, they're not getting the ball. They have, I don't know the exact number. They have some of the fewer interceptions in the league this year.
Five.
Yeah, so they're not getting the turnovers, but yeah, they have talent back there.
Yeah, the total's 37. The Bills scored 37. Last week. The Bills scored 37 last week against Miami. Thank you, Sal.
Okay, guys.
There you go. That's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearance with us brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, especially at this time of the year. What's your outlet?
Thanks to Sal and Travis Yost for being on today. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 if they'll have us. Sneaky Joe is next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.